Most of you know I love books. I love to read books. I love all books. I read all kind of books. I read novels, and I read Bible-type books, and I read history books, and I read Christian books, all those kind of things. I usually read, I average more than a book a week. In fact, this year, I'm already up to 75. About 3 years ago, I started, because I read all the time. I never wrote down, like, here I read this book, and I would write it down. So about 2 years ago, I decided, okay, whenever I read a book, I'll just write it down. So far this year, I think I'm up to 76 books. Okay, so it's more than one a week, because it'd be 52 for the whole year, and we've still got the rest of November and December, and so I'm going to try to get as many as possible. But anyway, I love reading books, but one of my favorite subjects is leadership. And there's a lot of good books on leadership. There's even good books on leadership in local churches. We talk about the role of the leader in the local body and all that. Let's think for a minute about our church, and let's think about the purpose of our church. And we all know that the purpose of our church is to make disciples. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus came up and spoke, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore, and what? What are we supposed to do? Make disciples. That involves two things. What are the two things? Evangelism and training. That's exactly right. And so when you think about making disciples, that's the good part. And we're to equip the believers to do the ministry, to build up the body of Christ. And so how does all that happen? Well, how do you equip believers? Well, somebody's got to be equipping the believers. And so the ones being equipped look at the one who is equipping and says, that's my Paul, that's my mentor, that's the one. Then those who are taking and being taught and then teaching others, that's the ones that are becoming a Paul to somebody else, and that's having a disciple or a Timothy. And so all of those things. The bottom line is, we say over and over, 2 Timothy 2:2, be taught and teach others. Now, if we're going to fulfill the mission of our church, if we're going to fulfill the purpose of our church, we've got to be taught the Word of God. And then we got to turn around and teach other people. And in our lives, we need Pauls, we need Barnabases, and we need Timothys. And that's what we want to do as we seek to do that. We need a Paul, which is a mentor. We need an encourager, which is as a Barnabas. And we need a disciple, which is a Timothy. That's the plan. Let's think about it. And we've been looking at mentor. And the mentor is the one that starts the chain in your life. I mean, this is the one that teaches you, and you turn around and you teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, take the things that you've been taught. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, take the things that I've taught you in the presence of many witnesses. You, Timothy, entrust these to faithful people who in turn will be able to teach others also. So you see the plan? Somebody teaches us and we turn around and teach other people. That's the only way discipleship is going to happen in a church. Now, most churches don't do discipleship. Most churches don't do anything. I mean, let's just face it. Most churches meet together. They come together. They like their music. They like their preacher. They like whatever. And then they go home. And it goes back and forth. And that's why people have been in churches for 30 years and they don't know any Bible. And they're not making disciples. They've never led somebody to Christ. They've never equipped people. They don't even see that as the purpose because they never even taught that. At least in this body, we know what we're supposed to be doing. Whether we do it or not is up to us. But at least we know what we're supposed to be doing, taking what we've been taught and turn around and teaching that to others. So we're looking right now this morning at the whole idea of a mentor, someone who's further down the road. And here's what we saw last time. We saw that the mentor, there were four key areas, that we follow their example, we have a kindred spirit with them, we learn the Word of God, and we serve with them. Now, last week, we just saw the first two, following their example and having kindred spirit. This morning, we just review that real quickly, and then we'll talk about learning the Word of God and serving with them. And then we're going to finish up with some real practical things when you think about having a mentor. So we'll see that this morning. And I'm pretty sure we can get that done. So let's review from last time. The first thing was follow their example. Their examples to us. We look at the person who's further down the road, who's growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, who's making disciples, who is doing all that. We say we want to be like them. As you remember in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now, Paul was pretty unique. He basically said, Timothy and Corinthians, look at me, see how I'm trying to live like Christ. You need to do the same thing I'm doing. What we do is when we look at this person who's a little further down the road, we want to say, I want to be like that person. They're on fire for Christ. They're growing as a Christian. They're studying the Bible. They're reaching out and helping people grow. I want to do the same thing. We follow their example. And I put down this, we look at their Bible study and their work habits and how they treat others and their service for Christ and their sharing of the faith and their reading and study of the Word. All of those things we look at and we say, that's how they do it. I want to be like that too. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I want to be like the mentor. So I hope that in your lives, there's somebody that's further down the road from you that encourages you in this way. And you look at that and you say, man, I want to be like that person. I want to grow in the grace and knowledge of my Savior. We said last week also that you need to have a kindred spirit. You can't just say that. I can't come in and say, listen, I want you to be discipled by this person. This person's been a Christian. You know, you're a fairly new Christian. This person's been a Christian for 10 years. So I want you to be discipled by this person. That doesn't work that way. You just can't set it up. You just can't say, you will disciple this person, you will disciple this person. What happens is people match. It's like the mentor person is looking for people that he can help or he or she can help mentor, while the person who wants to grow is looking for somebody that say, hey, would you meet with me and let's talk Bible or something? But you have to have that kindred spirit. And sometimes it doesn't match, but a lot of times it does. The word kindred spirit literally means of like soul. And Paul wrote that in 2 Timothy, in Philippians. Here's what he said about Timothy. He says, I hope to send Timothy to you. And then he says this, I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. Paul says, I don't have anybody else that's really close to me that matches me this way. And so as far as a mentor to a disciple, when you look at somebody who's further down the road and you want to connect with them, you got to connect with them. And it's got to be things. Let's see, we got a slide that is out of place. A slide is missing. The slide that we showed earlier, that's what's in the wrong place. But let me just tell you what that is. That you got to have the same goals, the same heart, the same way to view ministry, the same connection. And so when you're looking for a mentor, that's got to be somebody that you want to spend time with. It can't just be structured. I knew a guy that was a pastor in a church, and what they did is he took like six or seven of his leaders, and then he picked six or seven other people, and he said, okay, you're going to disciple them. And he made them do that. Well, a couple of them matched really well, but a couple of them never worked at all because they didn't match. So when you say, I'm looking for a mentor, you can't just say, I'll just go pick anybody. It's got to be somebody you connect with, somebody that believes the way you do, that has the heart the way you do. So that's the way we are now. So that's what we saw the last two times. Now we're, somebody moved it. Same girl. Good job. Thanks for moving that. Okay, the third thing, and this is where we are this morning, is we learn the Word of God. The person further down the road helps us to know the Bible. They're further down the road. They should know the Bible more. They've been studying more. Their job is to help take what they've been taught and do what? Teach others, pass it on. That's the plan. Now, you could say, I don't know anything. How am I going to pass it on? Well, my first question to you is, why don't you know anything? Right? You've been taught the Bible for a long time. Many of us have been Christians for a long time. So even that. And second, even if you're a fairly new Christian, you know the gospel. You know the grace message of salvation, which most people in this community and this world do not know. So we can always take what we've been taught and pass it on. Anyway, so we're supposed to learn from this person. And by the way, the foundation is the Word of God. The Bible is the foundation for everything that we do. When Ezra purposed in his heart that he would what? Study the law of the Lord to apply it and to teach it. Teach it. So he said, I'm going to study it and teach it. So what we want is that mentor, the person further down the road, is to teach us and help us study the Bible. I love this verse right here. It's 2 Timothy 2:15. You are in 2 Timothy. Look at verse 15. It's a famous verse, and it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Notice, handling accurately the Word of God. Well, what you're supposed to do, what we're supposed to do, is study the Bible. And our mentor is supposed to help us dig the Scripture. And notice what it says, be diligent, which dig or study, to present yourself approved to who? What does it say? To God. You know, sometimes people say, I'm going to study the Bible so my friend will think I know the Bible. Or I'm going to study the Bible so my mentor can say, good job on studying the Bible. You study the Bible to be approved by who? By God. Now, your mentor, the person that's helping you grow and all that, may say, good job. But in reality, you're studying so you can present yourself approved to God as a workman, need not be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of God. So Paul says to Timothy, study, dig it. That's what the mentor says to the one being mentored, handling accurately the word of God. Look at this next verse. I love this next verse. 2 Timothy 3:14. Paul says to Timothy, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Who did Timothy learn them from? Paul. Okay, when you are being taught by a mentor and you're saying, wow, I learned that, the mentor is basically saying, continue in the things we've been taught. Live by them. Not only just say, I got information, because too often we say things like, oh, I learned that, but do we apply it? I've told you about Prof. Hendricks and how much he meant to me, the professor at Dallas Seminary. He would come in and say, men, what is the goal of the study of the Word of God? And people would go, to know the Bible. And he'd go, no, that's not the goal of the study of the Word of God. The goal of the study of the Word of God is to make application. Study it so you can apply it. That's the ultimate goal. And so we're to take what we've been taught. This mentor teaching us is that we would continue in the things that we've been taught. And that's why we teach the Bible on Sunday morning, in grow groups, SBI classes, in Bible studies. You're supposed to have someone further down the road teaching you and helping you. So that's number three. Here's the D. And here's the fourth thing. Besides the fact of you know, growing and all this, we're to serve with the mentor. See, the mentor's job is not just to give us information. The mentor's job is to connect us in ministry. It's not just knowledge, but application. Look at this right here. Paul says about Timothy, he says, but you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. He said, he served with me. We watch that mentor. We see how the mentor disciples. We see how the mentor does ministry. We see how they do life. And what do we say? We say, I want to be like them. I want to help them. I want to do that. So many people miss out on ministry. One of the things about this room, I'm not going to do this, but if I said to you, if you are involved in any ministry in this church, I want you to stand up. Most of you in this room would stand up. Some of you are serving in the nursery. Some of you are helping out front. Some of you are doing something with donuts. Some of you are doing something else. I mean, it almost all of you in this room are connected with something. You're either working in the back, you're singing up here. I mean, just so if I said, where are you connected? Most of you would stand up. And so whoever is discipling you, whoever is your mentor further down the road, you want one of the things they might do is they may say, hey, you want to come help me do this? You want to come help me do this? And you'd go, well, yeah. And pretty soon, you're serving. That's the mentor's plan. The mentor's plan is not just to give you information. The mentor's plan is not to be further down the road and say, I know a lot more Bible than you, so I'm going to give you some nuggets. That's not the plan of the mentor. Mentor's plan is to help you understand the Bible so you can make application, so you can turn around and teach somebody else. And the mentor's plan is where he or she is connected in ministry. They're helping you connect in ministry. That's what it's all about. Paul talked about to Timothy at the very start of 2 Timothy, and he said, don't be ashamed of me or of our Savior, Jesus Christ, but stand strong. He was encouraging him. You do ministry. You do ministry. So what have we seen? We've seen that the mentor is an example. We look to them as an example on how we want to live. We look to them as that kindred spirit that connects with us. We look to them as the one that's going to help us know Scripture, that we're going to be taught so we can turn around and teach others. And that mentor is the one that we serve with them. We see them serving. We connect with them. And so if you said, let me just throw this out. We're talking about us needing a mentor. Okay? And pretty soon we're going to talk about having a disciple. And that that's when you're the mentor. And don't forget, when you get to this third one, which we'll get to sometime, your job's not just to give them information. Your job's not just to hang around with them and drink coffee. Your job is to disciple them. That mentor's job is to help them connect, grow, and serve so they can reproduce themselves. We've said over and over that our purpose of our church is what? What is it? Make disciples. It involves evangelism and training, with the end purpose is that these believers who have been led to Christ and are trained and equipped so that we can reproduce ourselves. We can do the same thing. Now, with just a few minutes left, let's think about some things when you think about a mentor, okay? Let's think about somebody that's in your mind that you might say, this person's been my mentor, this person's a little further down the road. Well, first of all, don't put your mentor on a pedestal. That they're in a process. Listen, they're human beings. They're going to fail you. They're going to do things that you go, oh, really? Really? No, they're in a process. They're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ just like you are. So just realize that they're, listen, the key is a person who is not faultless, but faithful. Everybody's got faults. Everybody messes up. Nobody's perfect. Nobody grows all the time. Nobody does everything right all the time. So when you look at your mentor, don't put them on a pedestal and say, well, I can't believe they'd do that. Well, listen, everybody, we're capable. Every one of us in this room are capable of any sin, any time, any place, anywhere. Just remember that. So don't put them on a pedestal. You're looking for a faithful person, okay? Number two, be wise in our learning because there are strengths in every person and weaknesses in every person. And when you're being mentored by somebody, you look to their strengths and you say, wow, I want to learn from that. I want to learn from that. I want to learn from that. You see their weakness, you say, I don't want to do that. I'm learning from that as well. There are things that they don't do well. There are things that they do well. I want to learn from them the things that they do well. You just got to remember, nobody's perfect. And so if a person's going to be helping you, then they're gonna have strengths, but they're also gonna have weaknesses, and that's okay. Everybody's got strengths and weaknesses. You know, I don't know anybody that's all strengths. Now, from a distance, you can impress people. You can only impact people close up. From a distance, you can't see the problems. You can't see that they may have weaknesses. When you get close, you can see it. But listen, everybody's got weaknesses. So remember, take the strengths, learn from the weaknesses. And then last but not least, here's the third thing. And that is, at various you may have various mentors at various stages of your life. When you're 20-something years old to 30-something, there may be somebody in your life that's a mentor that's really helping. And then you get in 40s or 50s years old, there may be somebody else. Or there may be something that when you're connected. I think back to my life, okay? When I was coaching, when I wanted to be a coach, Bob Tyler was my mentor. He was my high school coach. He went to coach at Mississippi State. He let me come and work with him at Mississippi State. He was a mentor. And most likely, the two things that he showed me organization and he showed me football, okay? Okay, that and he was that mentor there. But then, as I look, as time goes by, then I can think back to when I was in college, and the dean of men was a guy named O.W. Riley. He was the dean of men, but he was also the track coach. He's the one that the reason I went to Delta State. And when I went there, Coach Riley was a mentor for basically 4 years, a great man. He taught me track because I love track, but he also taught me organization because he was the dean of men at the school. And then I look at my life, and there comes Knapp. Knapp led me to Christ when I was 19, but when I started growing as a Christian, where would I go? I'd go find Knapp. Hey, Knapp, what does this mean? This doesn't make sense right here. This right here says this. This right here says this. He'd say, well, let me show you. And so Knapp was a mentor to me to help me. Now, let me just tell you something. I got no organization from Knapp because Knapp wasn't organized. Knapp knew Bible, but Knapp didn't put anything else together. But Ken Shepherd, who some of you know came into my life, and Ken had organization. Now, he could teach the Bible, but boy, he knew how to set things up, and that helped me. And then I went to Dallas Seminary, and I saw Prof. Hendricks. And I watched how he taught, and I watched how he met with people and how he related to people. And so in my life, and so at a certain time in my life, I had one mentor. At a certain time in my life, I had a different mentor. At another time in my life, and so what I'm telling you is the person that may be mentoring you or that you want to mentor you now, it doesn't mean it's a lifetime that this person's going to always be with you and be your mentor. It may be that you move away or you grow or you change and somebody else, God brings somebody else into your life. So be thinking about the mentor. Well, time is up, so let me give you the applications. First of all, let's realize our need for a mentor. Every one of us needs somebody further down the road that can help us. Number two, let's look to our mentors as examples who have that kinder spirit. You know, you want to look to them and you say, wow, I want to be like them, but you got to match them so that you can spend time together and it can work. And then number three, let's gain knowledge and application of God's word from our mentors and let's serve with them. Because the ultimate goal that the mentor has is not to give you information, but to help you become a disciple so you can make disciples. That's the plan. Well, we all got gifts, talents, and abilities in the body. I hope I hope all of us have someone further down the road that helps us grow and be disciples so we can make disciples.